This is the M Zone.
And welcome to the M Zone. It is far back Freaky Football Friday.
Freaky Dicky.
And what a night or day we're going to have. It's going to be some surprises. It'll be some friends that we have on. It's going to be great. And it's the 1995 Michigan Ohio State game. And I know I'm excited. Out in the Peach Mountains of Dexter, Michigan, Dennis Fithian. What's up, Dennis?
We should keep Michigan down here where they belong.
Okay. Dennis is ready too.
Down here where they belong.
Freaky Dicky.
And Matt the Hitman Misler over at the Taj Mahal doing the ones and twos. What's up, Matt? How you doing? Far back Freaky Football Friday, baby.
Freaky Dicky.
Freaky Dicky indeed. Happy Friday, guys. And should be a good one, especially with the guests that you have lined up so far, Jamie. And hopefully a lot more to come as well, too. We'll see. It's going to be a good one.
Who is this, Jamie?
Yeah. I think we should keep Michigan down here where they belong.
I mean, it sounds like a wide receiver, I guess. I don't know.
Nah, I'll rephrase that then. This is a very, very big game. Everybody knows it's a very big game. And this is our rivalry team. So we're going to go up there and treat Michigan as just another team instead.
I know it's not, what you call it. I know it's not the coach.
The attitude on this team is that we can beat Michigan. Michigan's nobody. Like, no.
Michigan's nobody.
Wow.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, they were the number one team in the country, right?
Number two.
Number two. With that being said, I mean, they thought that they're a team that was on a destiny. They were on a trip. They were Rose Bowl bound. That's what they were thinking. So, I mean, you know, it was just a formality to get through that Michigan team. I mean, And it's one of, and I've been told that it's one of the greatest speeches that Lloyd Carr made in his career to get this team up and ready to play. And not just before the game, I'm talking about during the week, during the Sunday before the game even started, before they even got into it, he gave a speech and it got them fired up. And you know, he told him, he went around the room and said, I guess they have the best back in the land. I don't know what I have. I guess we should trade three of our backs to bring one of their backs here. He was challenging. He went around and challenged those players. I mean, that's what he did. And he got a response, right? He found some response to the players. So, I mean, you got to look at it as, wow. Because, I mean, look, I don't know how you guys were when you saw that game. I always thought Michigan could beat Ohio State. So I thought that, you know, we'll get up for this game. We'll be able to beat them somehow, some way, there's a will, there's a way for this team. So that being said, I felt that, yeah, we got to stop Eddie George, got to stop him. We got to establish a running game, and you know Ohio State's defense has been good all year. So we got to establish a running game. Who knew what was going to happen? It happened. I mean, that was incredible. So when you think about that kind of game, and the way they came off, very emotional. They came out to play. They were not going to give anything away, and they didn't. They got punched in the mouth and they punched them right back and kept punching them. And then they start throwing haymakers. So, you know, it was one of the great games that Michigan, you know, but that game proved how good this team was if they put their minds to it, if they focused on the team at large, that they could beat a great team. I mean, you got to put it together each and every week. And it just showed if they did that, that they could do it. Now, there's laughter. A lot of the guys that I talked to when I prepared for this today, There was a lot of laughter about the bowl game following that game because, you know, they played Texas A&M in the bowl game that following year. And Texas A&M, when you listen to R.C. Slocum, who was the coach of Texas A&M at the time, he said, we didn't have to watch the film for the season. All we did was watch the Ohio State film. So, I mean, you know, and they did. They lost Texas A&M that year. But, I mean, that was still a big game, that Ohio State game. And it shows what Michigan can do if they keep their mind and if they stay focused on that game, on the games ahead. And I mean, for them, when you talk to the players, that kind of saved their season beating Ohio State. So, I mean, that's what I got out of it. So when you think about that, it's very interesting. I went and listened to Michigan replay, see what they had to say, what they thought about the game. They were very, I mean, you know, they showed all the plays that we're probably going to listen to and we're going to hear. So, I mean, it's kind of exciting. I mean, you know, you got to be for that game. And I happened to come back for that game. And boy, did my eyes get opened up. I'm like, I couldn't say his name, Tim Biakabatuka. I couldn't say it. And I'm like, who, what? But by the end of the game, I knew his name. I just called him Touchdown Timmy, man, after that, because he was getting it done. He was serving notice that, hey, there's no Heisman. The Heisman Trophy should go to this guy. If this is the Heisman game, if this is the Heisman moment, it should be the guy in the blue, the maize and blue with the winged helmet on, not the guy in the scarlet and gray. And, you know, it made everybody feel good that day. I mean, you felt that, you know, what they could have, what it could have been. And, you know, hopefully, and, you know, you look to next year, what can they be and different things like that. So, but I surely enjoyed this game, you know, for all kinds of reasons. It was just incredible for me.
Yeah, I was 24 years old. This was the second Ohio State game that I had been to in person, but the first one as a member of the media. And I went back this morning and watched the entire game, and it was the first time that I had watched the TV copy because I was at the game. And I didn't tape this one and go back. It wasn't in my collection. So being able to go back and watch the broadcast today was pretty cool. I wanted to jot down the notes like off the top of my head, like, all right, just remember, you know, 25, 26 years ago before you start looking into the tape and what do you remember? You remember the 313 yards. I mean, that's something that jumps out. I remember Charles Woodson coming up and making the two big plays,
mm-hmm.
two big interceptions in the second half. And, you know what I remember going into the stadium that day is that I didn't think Michigan was going to win that game. I was very intimidated by Ohio State, and with good reason. You know, I did watch a little bit of the pregame today, and they just had a couple minutes of the pregame before they went to the game. And the guy who's part of the SMU backfield there, the white running back, I forget his name.
Craig James
said Ohio State is like the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL. I mean, he was just like, and you know what? They were, man. They had Eddie George, who was running for 157 yards, and mm-hmm. Gaines and Hoying and Ricky Dudley and Terry Glenn. I mean, they were loaded. Orlando Pace was the I don't know if he won the out or, you know, the best offensive.
He did. He was the best offensive lineman in the country. They were loaded. You're right. They were loaded.
Yeah, they were. And I did, like you mentioned, Jamie, I grabbed a few of the plays. And you know what? When you say you get things going, you know, the fourth quarter is important. But, here's Michigan's. This is actually the first play of the game. It's Michigan's first play of the game on YouTube.
First down and 10 for the Wolverines. The nose of the ball at the 25-yard line.
And Mark, the comment that Dean made early about the field still being soft showed up on that first play. A little slip by Hayes on the kickoff return.
Backs out of the eye. Biakabatuka. Dancing outside, the elusive Tim Biakabatuka with a nice gain on first down out to the 48-yard line, a 23-yard pickup. And Todd, a look at some of the...
Yeah, you know, it was Mark Jones and Todd Blackledge on the call there. 23 yards on the first play, J-Mo, and then how about second play?
Down at the 47-yard line, three wideouts for the Wolverines.
Second play of the game.
It's Biakabatuka. Good stiff arm. Two runs, two first downs for touchdown Tim. This one taking him down to the 35 and 18-yard pickup. He's already run for 45.
45 after the first two carries. Like, let's go. That set the stage. I mean, it was like they were getting in anything, tenderizing anybody. You know, they came right out and got after it. So. That, you know, that part right there. And, you know, you said Lloyd Carr, it was his, you know, it was his first Ohio State game. You mentioned that he had, you know, had some impassioned speeches that week. And, you know, Terry Glenn had called, you know, Michigan a nobody. Here are the three clips. I also, you know, I thought, I didn't hear this actual audio, but my memory when I was looking for the Terry Glenn comments is I thought Glenn said, we're going to go up there and beat him by 20 or something. That's what I thought. I remember hearing him say it. But we do have three pieces of audio from his press conference from the week. And here's some Terry Glenn. And, you know, he calls Michigan a nobody. And, you know, we're going to just go up there and treat him like anybody else.
I think we should keep Michigan down here where they belong, just like the rest of them teams, and go up there and just keep their butt like we did everybody else. Rephrase that then. This is a very, very big game. Everybody knows it's a very big game. This is our rivalry team. So we're going to go up there and treat Michigan as just another team instead of putting them on that pedestal like normal teams would do. And I think now the attitude on this team is that we can beat Michigan. Michigan's nobody, like Northwestern did with Notre Dame. So
wow. I mean, look, I get it. I get it, and you know, back in those days, that's great bulletin board material. I mean, that's what you look at. You're looking for things like that. Terry Glenn, you gotta give him some credit. I mean, he had a great season that season up there. Down there. So that being said, I mean, that allows him to talk that kind of smack. But look it. You don't want to talk a lot of smack. Michigan, I don't know what happened to them, but they it was an up and down season kind of for them, you know?
You know, it always comes down to this thing, Jamie, you guys say it like, you know, you don't need any extra motivation.
No, you don't.
State and all of that stuff. But I do know immediately after the game, I remember, you know, Charles Woodson was asked, you know, what he thought of his individual matchup against Terry Glenn. The first thing he said is, I think Terry talked a little bit too much this week. I mean, he obviously had heard it, you know, it's like he came back and whether you hear it or not, whether you can get a little extra motivation for your matchup, however it is, you know, it was there. They knew it. It didn't hurt, you know, having Ohio State, you know, say those things. And, you know, the teams, and especially if you're, you know, follow the SEC, there's a lot more, you know, trash talking back and forth, but, you know, not as much. I mean, like, you know, Lloyd was not he didn't want guys saying anything. You watch it. Like, he wanted everybody on, you know, batting down, didn't want, you know, respect the opponent, don't say anything, you know. There was none of that. There was a few things over the years, you know, that would happen there where you'd come out and other teams would use it. But yeah, Carr was one of those. He didn't want anything like that. He didn't want any bulletin board material.
No. You don't want to give anybody a reason to, you know, to come out there and get fired up. They already fired up. It's Ohio State, Michigan. And you don't want to give that little incentive, especially if you're a player that, you know, if you're out there on the field all the time, you're a go-to player. Nah, you don't need to make any kind of waves because that's what they're going to remember. That's the number. They may not know your name, but they do know the number that said whatever what was said. So, I mean, look, I've been through it. I've seen it. I lived it. I saw it on when we flew into Columbus. Well, when we flew into Columbus, Jim guaranteed a game, and You know, that was, remember the guarantee. It was boards all over, you know, the sandwich boards that people would put out and says, remember the guarantee. Remember the guarantee. So you got the fans involved and you get everybody else involved. So, I mean, we didn't think it was going to be a real big deal. That thing was huge because they remembered it. And you would hear them say it the whole game. Remember the guarantee. We can win this game. So Terry Glenn saying that, you do not want to incite that defense because they're already fired up. It's the game of the year that we're going to play. You don't want to get those guys fired up. I mean, come on. And those guys are going to remember that. Terry Glenn, every time the ball went to Terry Glenn, I bet you everybody on that defense was trying to get a tag on him, get a helmet on him. 11 helmets on number 83. I think he was 83. So
I think you're right.
So, I mean, that was probably what the coach told him from a defensive standpoint. That's what we used to do. We used to try to – we would run the ball at somebody. I mean, if somebody said something, we're running the ball right at you just to see what you were going to do. And if you proved that you could get run on, we're going to keep running until you stop it.
Yeah, it was interesting. Went through some of the big-time offensive players, so Terry Glenn, one of them, Orlando Pace, Eddie George, who would win the Heisman, and Dudley, who was big tight end, All-American, All-Big Ten, whatever he was. But on the defensive side, when you look, Luke Fickell, head coach Cincinnati, he was over there. Mike Vrabel was defensive end, head coach Tennessee right now. That's, two guys right there. And Sean Springs, they're probably their best.
Oh, yeah.
He was out there. He was an All-American, that's for sure.
He was an All-American, yeah. So, I mean, they had talent. They were undefeated coming into Michigan, into Ann Arbor. So, I mean, look, they had some talent coming in here. And all year – they made it look easy all season long. Playing their opponents, it may not have been easy, but I'm just telling you from the eyes, it looked how Eddie George ran the ball, how they stopped, played defense and played. They made it look easy to get ready for that game.
Jamie, I know you didn't forget that Michigan got some big news on the basketball front today, coming up at 3:35. We'll have to talk about that.
Well, Matty, I know that Matt's all over it. He sent me a text message saying, hey, I got all the – I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, but well, remember – coming up in about 10 minutes.
That'll be great. Look, that's a huge get. I mean, but Dennis, doesn't it seem to you like we're doing like a little log jam a little bit now?
Oh, well, in 10 minutes, I got a lot of thoughts on it,
Okay. I just went, that's great. I love it. But where are we going to put them?
I don't know about that. I got some questions, but, I wasn't thinking the same way you were. So that's good.
Right. It's a good thing. Look, I'm okay with it. If you can play ball, if we're playing positionless basketball and everything like that, I'm good with it. Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be real good. And this game is going to be hyped up. We'll have fun with it. We got some real great guests coming on, and they're going to break it down for us and tell us in their minds where they were in their minds. It's kind of exciting to see what they can remember about this game, because it's been a while.
It has been a while. And, going back, and then, I said earlier, I hadn't watched the TV copy of the game, and Northwestern was rooting for Michigan, because if Michigan beat Ohio State, Northwestern was going to go to the Rose Bowl. So they were even going to the Northwestern building, and they had a reporter there. They're interviewing Gary Barnett, through the game there. And, he's rooting for Michigan, and they're, they break out the roses there at the end. But, it's not like this game did come down, and it was 10-9 at the half, and then Michigan didn't go 31-23, which ended up being the final score. But, there were 6.5 minutes to go. Ohio State scored. And so getting the ball back, and they did get the ball back. I mean, they had a chance, and they were throwing Woodson's interception there at the end. It came in a 4th and 10, but, they had moved pretty close where, if they make that catch, you're throwing it up to Terry Glenn. You're sitting there with a chance to win the game if you're Ohio State. Now they needed to go for 2 to tie it in, so if it's 7, 8, they needed to get a 2-point conversion there. And that was before there was not overtime yet. So,
right.
But that would have been better than a loss.
Well, for Ohio State, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not for Michigan. Yeah. That would have felt like a loss if they would have given
up. Right. For Ohio State, I would have played for a tie. Hell yeah. I would have tried. But, I mean, yeah. Let's go to a break, Miz, and come back. We'll have Maddie Leach on, and we got things to talk about. And we'll be right back. You're listening to the M Zone.